Hi everyone, this is Steve. Welcome to Pacific Life Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to check out our website, pacificlifechurch.org, and subscribe to our email list. The email is actually the best way to keep up with everything going on around here at PLC. Most importantly, I hope the following presentation will inspire you to follow Jesus, love each other, and serve your neighbors.
Good morning. So happy to see you here today. Thank you so much for being with us in person, and a special hello to everyone online. I'm glad that you could join us as well. Well, traditionally, we use the first part of the year to set goals and make our lives better. And I am for both of those. I really like goals, and I like making my life better. But this year, I am more confident than ever that a better way to start the year, a better way to live all year, is through prayer, praying courageously. And I hope that this is not something we will just check off our list of things to do at the end of 31 and 40 days. Oh, look at us, great, we just finished 31 or 40 days of prayer. You know, the ultimate goal is transformation, bringing us to a new awareness of the presence of God. Because life with God is our best option, and prayer is essential to that relationship. Mark Batterson, in his book called Praying Circles, which is another 40-day journey through prayer, he says this: prayer is the difference between the best we can do and the best God can do. I don't know about you, but I want to see the best God can do. My best isn't always that great. God's best is far better. So today we're specifically going to look at what to pray. What to pray. Sometimes I don't know what to do, what to think, what to feel, what to say, let alone what to pray. I just don't know what to do. So what do we do when we don't know what to pray? As I was considering this idea for today, I was drawn to the book of Nehemiah in our Bibles, and so I read through it one evening, and then I went to bed. And the next morning, I continued to wrestle with what I should teach on today, and as I opened the On Your Knees book, which is the one I'm going through during this 40 days of prayer, what was there? Nehemiah 1. So I thought, God just answered that prayer. Why do I keep wrestling with this? Let's just dive into Nehemiah today and see what we can learn from Nehemiah on prayer, because there is an amazing prayer there. So if you have your Bible or Bible app with you, I would encourage you to open to Nehemiah 1. It's in the Old Testament, and follow along with me in a couple minutes here. Let me give you some backstory. Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king following a time of captivity for Israel. And the Israelites had actually been freed and were allowed to go home to Jerusalem. Yet the walls and the gates of the city were still completely torn down and burned, and everything was a mess. Some travelers from Jerusalem came back to where Nehemiah was, and he asked them, how are things going? And they reported that to him, and he was just crushed. In fact, he was devastated by the news. I'm not sure what they thought they would see when they went back to Jerusalem, but he wasn't okay with this. And it actually is recorded in verse 4 of chapter 1 that he said, in fact, at this news, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. For days he mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven because of that news. Let's see what he prayed, because it's a good prayer. Nehemiah 1, 5 through 11 says this: Oh God, I'm actually just reading verse 5. O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. He started his prayer with praise. So we should do the same. We should begin our prayers. When we don't know what to pray, begin with praise and gratitude. He begins with praise, which is similar to how Jesus taught his disciples to praise. Of course it is, right? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we can copy that. Jesus said to start with, "O Father in heaven, holy is your name." Both of these men acknowledge who God is. What a great place to start. Nehemiah is praising God for being great and awesome, acknowledging his character. He says that he's keeping his covenant of unfailing love. When we begin with praise, it reminds us of who God is, his very nature and character that is for us and that is with us, because God is worth praising. So we begin with praise. I have a theme verse that I felt God gave me this year. I don't always get a theme verse for the year, but I felt like I was given this one in December. It's from Colossians 4:2. It says, "Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart." Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. And as I considered this, I had to ask, what am I or have I been devoted to? What have I been devoted to? To be devoted is to be very loving or loyal to something. So I'm devoted to my husband, my kids, my family, my church. I can definitely say that. We have people that are devoted to brands. You know, maybe you only stay at the Marriott when you travel. You would be devoted to that brand. Or I only shop at Macy's or Target or whatever. We're devoted to brands. Vacation destinations. We can be devoted to sports teams. I believe we can. But are we devoted to prayer? What does it look like to be loving and loyal to God? Being devoted to prayer is relational. It's how we communicate with God, which is full of hope and possibility. And I believe that we cannot be truly devoted to God if we are not also truly devoted to prayer. We cannot be truly devoted to God without also being truly devoted to prayer. When I look at that verse and consider what it means to have a thankful heart, well, this is a habit I've been practicing for years. I've kept a gratitude journal where I write down three things every day that I'm thankful for. And as I was going through, again, this devotion, Phil Wickham affirms the benefits of gratitude. He says, "Prayers of gratitude are like preaching to your own soul of God's goodness, kindness, love, and generosity. Thanksgiving is a weapon and a shield against the darkness and lies of the enemy." I love that. It affirms, yes, gratitude and praise, they are so important. We need to speak those things out loud. And it's very true. The enemy wants to keep us away from God, in the pit of despair, comfortable in my complaining. And in hindsight, when I started that gratitude journal, it was a season where I struggled with gratitude. So that was a good step to take. I believe God was helping me see his goodness and all the blessings I have, his provision when times were tough. And those lists are things I'm thankful for. I can go back and look at them because it truly preached to my soul who God was. And it helped me turn my attitude around. Gratitude became a part of my daily routine. The key here is establishing a routine. Being devoted to prayer means we intentionally add prayer to our daily routine. Like I added gratitude to my daily routine, we would need to add prayer to our daily routine. We prioritize the practice and habit of prayer. How do we do that? How do we cultivate habits? A couple years ago, I read a book called Atomic Habits by James Clear. I highly recommend it. It is such a good book. And he talks about the value of creating habits and becoming the person we want to be. One example might be you want to be a disciplined person, which I would say prayer requires discipline, so we probably all want to do that. And as a start, maybe to be a disciplined person, you commit to making your bed every morning. Now, that may not be a big deal to those of us that make our beds every morning, but if you don't make your bed, you're probably thinking to yourself, I'm not doing that. I hate making my bed. Why would I make? My husband would say, why would I make my bed? I'm just going to get back in it later. Then it's ready for me. Well, I like to make my bed every morning, and what we can do is when we decide I'm going to be a disciplined person and make my bed, now I'm a person who makes my bed. I'm a disciplined person. You know, starting small is often the key to successfully cultivating lifelong good habits. And these are small steps can have exponential dividends. He shared a story of a guy who wanted to lose 100 pounds. And what he did was he started by joining a gym. Well, that's a good first step. We all know that if you just join a gym, you're not going to lose 100 pounds, right? You have to go to the gym. Well, that was the next step. Now I'm going to go to the gym for 5 minutes a day. Well, you also can't lose 100 pounds going to the gym for 5 minutes a day. That's not going to be sufficient. But what he discovered was what he needed to do was be a guy who showed up. He needed to create that habit first. I need to be a guy who shows up at the gym. in order to then stay at the gym longer, in order to now be the guy who's healthy. So now this person can now say, I am a healthy guy, and it started with that small habit. So those are the habits. So when it comes to our prayer lives, what are some small steps we can take to be a person who prays? How can we be a person who prays? So one of the things I felt God was telling me to do was to set aside my thankful journal. And I didn't want to do that because I really like my thankful journal. But I felt like God was saying, but you're a thankful person. You got that. I am a thankful person. What I want you to do is do something more now. I couldn't just, you know, show up at the gym. I needed to start working out at the gym. Now that I'm a thankful person, I need to become and cultivate my prayer practices better. And so that's what I did. In order to be a person radically transformed by prayer, to be a prayer warrior, I needed a new prayer routine. Mark Batterson states, again, when we establish a prayer routine, our lives are anything but routine. And I would say I can agree to this. Changing my prayer routines has changed my life. And I would hope the same for you. Anytime as Christ followers, we want to change those routines in order to change our lives. So this verse, right? Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and thankful heart. Got the thankful heart, and we've talked about devoted. Well, the part I probably struggle with the most is that alert mind piece. Been really convicted. My alert mind is a problem. Whether I'm distracted by technology, world events, entertainment, work, family and friend situations, and there may not be bad things. Sometimes I'm just distracted. And I wrestle with how do I set these things aside and give my undivided attention to God's presence, to be fully present with him in prayer. So that's the journey I'm currently on. I'm a work in progress on this. I still have to do intentional things. Steve talked last week about how we can, you know, do things like don't bring your phone with you when you're having that time with God. So I'm working on putting my focus thing on my phone to try to get better at that. Because I want to develop that habit so that I can grow closer with God. So what do we pray? Well, we begin by devoting ourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. We begin with praise and thanksgiving. So let's do that first. Let's continue on Nehemiah's prayer. Verses 6 and 7. Listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. So Nehemiah then moves to confession of sin. What do we pray? We can pray confession of our sins. We confess sins. I noticed that he did yours and ours. He was doing both. Now, confession of sin can be really difficult for many reasons. Maybe you've had a negative experience with confessing sin to other people. And I will confess to you that the church hasn't done a great job with this at all times. This aspect of prayer can be used to instill shame for people. It can manipulate situations and even be harmful to others. That is not God's design for confession of sin. He did not design it to be that way. Unconfessed sin is baggage that we carry. It's baggage that we carry, and we want to lay that down. With God, confession of sin is a gift which brings freedom and life change. And it's in our best interest to confess sin to God. 1 John 1:9 says, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is his answer to our confessions of sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us of those, which is why we want to unpack that baggage. It weighs us down. It slows us down. It hinders us from God's best. It's heavy. And the more we carry, the slower we move. And one of the things I noticed is it can even be paralyzing. Maybe we are not able to move from the space we're in at all because of unconfessed sin. There's a story in Mark 2 of a group of men who bring their paralyzed friend to Jesus. They lower him down through the roof and lay him at Jesus' feet. It's such a great story. I wish I had an hour and we could talk about that too. But I want to focus on what Jesus says to this man. As he's laying there on the ground, Jesus looks at him, seeing the faith of the friends, and he says, "My child, your sins are forgiven." This man is laying at his feet paralyzed, and of course, everyone's wondering. The Pharisees and the religious leaders are appalled that he would forgive his sins, so there's all that confusion. But Jesus knew exactly what this man needed first. Before he could move forward in anything else, he needed his sins forgiven. We don't know what his sins were. only Jesus and the man knew. And I actually imagine they were heavier than the mat he was lying on. Jesus answering those first was the beginning of this man's healing journey. Forgiving those sins changed his life. You know, really, Jesus knows the root of our problems. We have to pull out the root of it. Just healing the surface issues sometimes is not enough. And we don't want to become so paralyzed with sin that we are unable to move in life, unable to move at all. The author of Hebrews says this about sin, Hebrews 12:1. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So we can see that sin entangles us, and we want to get rid of it. But I also love that he uses the image of racing here, running a race. I did a 5K race in early December, and part of, you know, when you're getting ready to run a race, and I know that's not a very long one, but it was significant to me, but part of running that race was making sure I had the right equipment. For me, it's mostly making sure I have the right shoes, but I also need sunglasses because I don't want to get a headache from a horrible glare on the sun. I need good socks because I don't want to blister, and the right clothing to run a race. And for that race, you know, I chose to take my phone with me so I could take a fun photo, which you'll see here in just a minute. Tommy and I have been, we have the habit of walking 6 to 7 miles most Saturday mornings, and so I figured it wouldn't be a huge deal to carry my phone with me on a 3 mile run, and it worked out fine. So I did, however, ditch a couple of crazy pieces of the costume. You go ahead and put that picture up. This is us at the race. So that's what you got to wear to the race we were in. I don't know if you, I say the term race loosely. And so it's a fun run here in PB. And so, but I had to ditch part of this costume. I could tell right away that the shorts that Tommy is currently wearing in that picture and the hat, I'm not sure if you can see it, he's got a thick hat on, that it would negatively affect my goal of finishing the race. Even though it was just a couple of fun, you know, fun things to do, those shorts were in my way, so I just chose to not wear those and be part of it. If this had been a marathon, I wouldn't have had any of that stuff on. I wouldn't have taken my phone. I would have left it all behind, because 26 miles is a long way. It requires no baggage at all. You just got to show up and run. Carrying anything additional would definitely prevent us from succeeding for the long haul and risk even finishing. You're not going to run a marathon, in my opinion, wearing a Santa costume like that. It's too much. God calls us to run our race. That's our lives in this verse, to run our race that he has marked out for us. And we need to treat it like a marathon, a long haul. And unconfessed sin is the baggage that weighs us down. It slows us down and paralyzes us, and we need to get rid of it. I wouldn't run a 5K with a backpack on, let alone a marathon with an international-sized bag of luggage. Yet that's how so many of us live our lives, carrying the burden of unconfessed sin with us everywhere we go. That's why confession is such a key aspect of our prayer life. It helps to keep us focused on our purpose and mission with God. It reminds us of the gift that God gave us with Jesus. God gave us this incredible gift with Jesus, who endured separation from the Father, who experienced death on the cross, who laid down his life for the sake of our sins. He offers us forgiveness and freedom from that sin today. That is so significant. We do not want to hold on to those. We don't need to carry those burdens with us. He did that for us so we could lay those down. What weighs down your soul? What is troubling your heart? What is consuming your mind? What's negatively affecting your body? We need to start by laying the luggage down and then begin to unpack it. I brought my overnight bag with me today. Oh, so heavy. Can you hear how heavy that is? Can you imagine trying to run with this? Okay, I'm gonna go for a run now. There's no way. You could not run with it. And it's really heavy. So I would encourage you to unpack your bag. Open it up. Lay it out before God. Literally unpack it. Lord, I've been abusing my body. Will you forgive me? Man, I complain a lot. Forgive me. Oh, I've made some sexual choices that are not my best. Distractions consume me and keep me from my best, Lord. Greed. I found myself being really greedy. Lord, forgive me for wasting my time, for my anger issues. Anyone have anger issues? Gotta confess. Forgive me for things I've stolen or times I've stolen time from my employer, the lies I tell to others and to myself. Gossip. Gluttony. I overeat. I overdrink. Jealousy. Man, I'm always jealous of what other people have. Bitterness. We've got to lay down the bitterness. Selfishness. Lord, forgive me for the times I care about myself more than others. Lord, forgive me when I neglect my responsibilities. God, will you forgive me when I ignore my calling? When I exhibit hate and towards others? Lord, will you forgive me for not forgiving others? Those are heavy. I don't know about you, I don't want those back in the bag. The bag is empty now. It feels light. Jesus tells us that his burden is easy. That's what I want. He'll carry that bag for me. I don't have to carry it anymore. I can lay all these down. Such a gift. And you know what? God is not shocked by any of this, by the way. Don't be afraid to tell him what you got going on. Empty out every nook and cranny, even the small zipper pockets in your suitcase where you think you're hiding things well. You can take those out too. He knows those are in there. This is where I personally like to tuck the lies I tell myself. Tuck those in there. Pretend they don't exist. Confession helps offload all the fear, the doubt, the despair, and the heavy burdens associated with sin. We need to add confession to our prayer life. And repentance, this is the act of moving away from sin, leaving it behind, and moving in God's direction. You got to do both. With the paralyzed man, Jesus forgave his sin and healed him, and he told him to stand up, pick up your mat, and go home, and he did it. He got up and did what Jesus told him to do. We also need to do what God tells us to do today. We need both confession and repentance for a healthy prayer life and a thriving life with God. So what do we pray? We begin with praise and thanksgiving, and then we go to confession of sins. Let's read what he does next, verses 8 through 10. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. You are unfaithful to me. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. The people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. Okay, well, what did he pray here? He prayed God's word. He prayed God's word. Nehemiah is referencing God's promises made to Israel during the time of Moses. This is where the simple act of opening your Bible is a huge win. All you got to do is open your Bible or your Bible app. Pastor Steve is always telling us to do this. It's good advice. It's a great way to live a flourishing life with God. And there are so many prayers in there in both the Old Testament and the New Testament that we can learn from. King David alone has so many examples with a variety of emotions and circumstances to pick from. Just turn to the Psalms for prayers on favor, repentance, help in trouble, safety from enemies, mercy, wisdom and forgiveness, instruction and guidance. It's all in there. We just have to open our Bibles and look. I often like to start my prayer time with the Lord's Prayer, which is such a good one to memorize. Tony preached on it a couple weeks ago. I highly recommend memorizing that one. And when in doubt, begin with that one because it has all of these steps in it too. So what do we pray? Begin with praise and thanksgiving, confession of sins, and then God's word. Last verse. O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it into his heart to be kind to me. This is such a sweet end to Nehemiah's prayer. It's vulnerable, it's heartfelt, it's authentic. It demonstrates exactly how relational prayer is. In this instance, God answered Nehemiah's prayer. The king was favorable to him, and he was able to go with the king's blessing to Jerusalem. You should read the rest of the story. I don't get to cover it all today. It's such a beautiful story. And it seems as though, in this case, Nehemiah's heart was aligned with God's. God answered his prayer. It was aligned with God's. Something I noticed as I was preparing was Nehemiah 2:12. He says in that chapter and verse, I had not told anyone about the plans God had put in my heart for Jerusalem. I had not told anyone the plans God had put in my heart for Jerusalem. Nehemiah's days of fasting and prayer for the city and the people he loved had resulted in a call to action. They'd resulted in a call to action. I think this explains a little bit about why he was asking God to help the king be favorable and kind towards him. He knew God was calling him to go. I think he got that calling. God placed that on his heart, and he knew he needed to go. But he probably could not see how that was possible, given his current position as cupbearer to the king. He couldn't just quit his job and give notice. That wasn't an option as the cupbearer to the king. That would be an impossible task. Lord, you've asked me to do the impossible. We can trust that if God asks us to do something impossible, he's going to be with us in it. He's going to be faithful to open the door. We need to take that step forward and do it. So we can see why he was nervous. Lord, please be favorable to me. Have the king be favorable. You've asked me to do this crazy thing. Second, he needed to go and accomplish those tasks. First, he had to get permission from the king to leave, and then he needed to accomplish it. And it was not easy. It was certainly had a lot of blessing, and God made a clear path, but he had adversity all along the way. Just because God answers our prayers and we go do what he says he's going to do does not mean it's going to be easy. It can still have adversity. We should stay the course. Do it anyways. That's always our best option. So what do we pray? We begin with praise and thanksgiving, confession of sin, God's word, and then ask for what's on your heart and mind. Go ahead and ask. Ask God for what's on your heart. We already know he knows what it is, but ask him anyways. And we pray that our hearts and minds are aligned with God's. Finally, I have one verse left I want to read to you. It's out of Ephesians. Ephesians 6:18 says this: pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. I started a new prayer journal to keep track of my prayers, as well as the answers God has. So I brought my thankful journal in the past. Today I brought my prayer journal. I literally had to start a new prayer journal, and I am loving it. Actually, many of you are listed in here. If you request prayer from our in-person prayer team or to me personally, if you put in a submission online or text it to us, I'm writing those down, and I'm praying for you. It's changed my life. It reminds me to pray for you because my memory can be really short from here to the back door. I want to make sure that I remember. I want to make sure that I am noticing where God's moving in your life and where he's moving in mine. No matter what I pray, my current goals are to pray with an alert mind. It's there twice, right? We heard pray with an alert mind twice. And also to be persistent in our prayers. Be persistent. And I want to align my heart with God's rather than God's heart with mine. I think that's why in the Lord's Prayer, we ask, thy will be done. Because oftentimes, thy will is so much better than my will. If God doesn't answer my prayer the way I want, I presume I'm the one who doesn't see the bigger picture. I assume that God is right. And I thank him for doing things his way. And it doesn't mean I don't grieve or that I'm not disappointed. I can still be impatient and even get frustrated with my prayer times and even with God because I'm frustrated that my will is not aligning with his. But in the end, no matter what I pray or how I'm feeling, I do know that God is in control. And I do hope, ultimately, to align my heart with his because his way is always the best way. So with that, I just want to invite you to pray with me today and maybe just hold out your hands. Let's open our hearts and minds to what God has for us today. As we close. Heavenly Father, we praise and we honor you, our Creator and King. You alone are worthy of all praise and honor. We thank you for loving us, being with us, and being for us. We thank you for the countless blessings we notice and those we're oblivious to every day. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We've sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us. Please forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We all face many temptations in this world, Lord, and we thank you for always providing a way out and a way from those. Father, we know that many of the trials and challenges we face will be earthly ones. Yet we also know that this war is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And I pray that you would protect us and deliver us from that evil. We ask that you hear our prayers today. Father, we ask that you hear our prayers today, prayers for healing, physically, emotional, mental, and spiritual healing, Lord, for anyone who needs that. Hear our prayers for those. Prayers for comfort, for those grieving the loss of loved ones, the loss of relationships, the loss of jobs. God, we pray for you to comfort us and guide us in those moments. Lord, I pray for grace and mercy when we find ourselves in disobedience to your calling and best for us. Hear our prayers for justice, for those who are marginalized, being abused, harmed, or oppressed by others. Hear our prayers for guidance and direction in our own lives, in the lives of our family, our children, our friends, our employers, our governing leaders. God, hear our prayers for salvation for those who are far from you and need you so desperately. And Lord, prayer, hear our prayers of blessing over our church, our community, our country, and our world. In all things and circumstances, Lord, we acknowledge that you are holy and good, and we pray that your will be done now and always. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you'd like prayer to connect with us, please go to our website at pacificlifechurch.org, and we would love to connect with you.